And it also defines how we can get in right relationships with God, with self, with others. In yes. other words, it is the prescription for a healthy, happy, fulfilled life.
That's the relevance of the Bible to today's world. Dr. Evelyn Laycock will tell us more as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and Jeff Steinberg, an informative interview with Bible teacher Evelyn Laycock, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. We are an affiliate member of the General Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. We're the people of God because we belong to Jesus Christ, and Christ belongs to God. We're called from the dark and delivered from chains. Listen to this contemporary praise song, The People of God. Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled Grandfather's Skates. It is written by Spencer D. Grand of Ohio. Spencer writes, "How have you chosen to follow Christ today?" The scripture reference is Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus said, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me." Watching ice skating events on television reminds me of a box in our attic that contains two pairs of ice skates. One pair belonged to my grandfather, who immigrated to the United States in 1892 at the age of 17. He came from the Netherlands, a nation known for its ice skating. Grandpa's skates are crude by today's standards, carved from wood with metal blades inserted into grooves in the bottom of each skate. Leather thongs were used to tie the skates to his high-top shoes. Family tradition said that he won amateur speed skating contests in his homeland and in this country. In the same box is a modern pair of shoe skates that I used during my youth. Despite my grandpa's skating ability, my skating skills never developed beyond the beginner stage. Our relationship with God is as unique as our skating skill level. The fact that the grandfather was a good skater does not ensure that the grandson will be a good skater. Likewise, the fact that some persons serve Christ in a particular way does not guarantee that their descendants will follow in their footsteps. Each of us must decide to follow Christ in our own special way. How have you chosen to follow Christ today? May we pray. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. I have back with me today Dr. Evelyn Laycock. Last week, we were talking about the relevance of the Bible in today's world. That ancient book still speaks to our world. And I want us to continue that discussion. But before we do that, I just want to say that Dr. Evelyn Laycock is a marvelous Bible scholar and one of the most wonderful teachers that I've ever heard. You bless people, Evelyn.
Well, God does that in spite of me.
And you travel all over the United States teaching, and you bless a lot of people. Evelyn, we were talking last week about the relevance of the Bible in today's world, that ancient book. And you were saying that it tells us about our sins. It defines morality, good and evil, so that we can make a choice, right?
It does. And it also defines how we can get in right relationships with God, with self, with others. In
yes.
other words, it is the prescription for a healthy, happy, fulfilled life.
Yes.
And that will come when we have a dynamic, personal relationship with the living God
yes.
that is fully revealed in Jesus the Christ.
Yes.
And our world does not say this. Our world says money and power, prestige and degrees and so on will make us happy. That's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a person said to me one day, they said, I've tried everything and it's left me empty.
Yes.
Now, where do I find meaning?
Mm-hmm.
And meaning is found in this relationship with the living God and in the everyday walk of love.
Yes.
Which means justice, kindness, goodness, and
yes.
mercy.
And I think that's why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
And all these things will be added to you.
Yeah. The necessities of life, what gives the good life, will be added to you. I read last week a statement that is powerful, I think, and it says, no one is poor who is loved.
Yes.
And that is true, because through God's love and the love of people, we develop meaning in all of life.
God is the source of true love, isn't he?
Yes.
Holy love, and that's really what love should be.
Yes.
Holy love, the love of God, self-giving, self-sacrificing
yes.
love. That's the love of Jesus, and it's the love of the cross. But Evelyn, you know, a person can be religious and not really find God. In other words, Jesus didn't come to bring a religion, did he?
No.
He came to bring a relationship.
A relationship.
To give us opportunity to have a relationship with God.
Yes.
And he spoke of God as Father and friend.
Yes.
Relationship.
Yes.
And religion's not enough then, is it?
No, we can be very religious. The Pharisees were very religious.
Yes.
But they did not have a relationship with God. They were always on jury duty.
Yes.
Judging other people.
Yes.
And that's not a relationship.
Yes.
But to be in a relationship with God is also to be in a relationship with your highest self.
Yes.
And then you will realize that all people are created and loved by God. It gives you a worldview.
Yes.
That God loves the world, not just America.
Yes.
But God loves the world. And a part of being in this dynamic relationship is that you think worldview instead of my view.
Yes.
And how can I contribute to bringing justice and righteousness and mercy and kindness and love to the world in the arena in which I live?
Yes.
And it makes a difference.
Yes, Christ died. Every person is a person for whom Christ died.
That's right.
Every person in the world. Mm-hmm. And God loves everyone. And he wants
equally.
Them. Yes, equally. Mm-hmm. And he wants them to find him and his kingdom and enter into a loving relationship.
Yes. And then happiness, or no, joy.
Yes.
Joy comes.
Yeah, not just happiness, yeah. But joy.
And joy is there all the time because there's the awareness that God and Christ and the Holy Spirit are within.
Yes.
And they are at home within you. And then you see people and issues through the eyes of the Trinity.
Yes. And Evelyn, we're just about out of time, but Jesus is the way, isn't he?
Yes.
And he said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. And religion is human beings looking for God, trying to find God. And the Christian gospel is God seeking humans.
Yes. Isn't that good news?
Isn't it good news that he came for us, yes. Seeking us because he loves us?
Yes.
I've been talking with Dr. Evelyn Laycock, a truly great Bible teacher. If your church wants a blessing, have Evelyn come and teach. She is a fantastic teacher. Bless you, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Evelyn Laycock, thank you so much.
Many days I thought I knew my way. I thought that I knew just which way to go. Just when all seemed bright, things were going right, God stretched out his hand, he told me no. He said, that's not the way for you. I'll show you a brighter star to reach for, give you a higher mountain you can climb. That's not the way for you. I'll give you a sweeter song to sing if you give up your will. Everything goes just like it should when we obey his call. Follow me, my son. This is the way for you. I'll show you a brighter star to reach for, give you a higher mountain you can climb. Give up your will, follow mine. You give up your will, follow mine.
That was Jeff Steinberg. Jeff is an evangelist with the National Association of United Methodist Evangelists. Dear friend, if there's darkness in your life, if there's fear and anxiety, worry, perplexity, If you're facing problems that you do not have any solution for, we invite you to call the Upper Room Prayer Line. You'll hear a friend on that line who will point you to God and to Christ, who will give you light and give you peace and joy. The Upper Room Prayer Line, it's a free call, 1-800-251-2468. Don't carry your burden alone. Call the Upper Room Prayer Line. You'll find a friend, and that friend will pass the word about your need on to others. You can call anonymously if you wish, but your need will be shared, and others will begin to pray for you and with you. Upper Room Prayer Line, 1-800-251-2468. Today's message is entitled, Small is Big. Here is Methodist Hour President, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gets you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward." Amen. You know, I try to imagine what I would write down as important if I were a person like Mark, our gospel writer for today. Now just think of it. Mark has written material that has lasted for 2,000 years, and who knows how many thousand years after this. He has taught us about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We know about the healing of blind people. We know about the feeding of thousands of people with practically nothing except a few fish and a little bread. We know about the transfiguration and the whole drama of the crucifixion and the resurrection. But now I call those things big, don't you? I mean, those are big things. The biggest for me is feeding the 5,000s, of course. Wouldn't it be incredible to be out there on that hillside and see all of those hungry people eating with just a few loaves of barley bread and a couple of fish and still have plenty left over to fill the baskets? You know, there are really some big things recorded. And after all of this, it is the Holy Scripture. And I guess, wouldn't you expect that the things in it are to be big things? Now, don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. As I read the lesson for today, I had to take a double look. Remember those words, listen again? Whoever gives you a cup of water because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. A cup of water. Such a small thing. It must have gotten into the scriptures on the coattails of some big miraculous healing or changing water into wine or something. But you see, these words for today are written after the resurrection. Mark has added some material that is teaching the church how to live as Christians. If they had been written down before the resurrection, we would not be reading the phrase, because you bear the name of Christ. You see, Jesus would never let anyone call him that until after the resurrection. Well, in any case, all we're talking about here is a small cup, and then, in those days, a cup of warm water, given to a little child or possibly one of the disciples. Now, I know it sounds like a very nice and pleasant thing to do, but why would it be included in the same list for the foundation of the practices of the church? Let's think about it. Maybe we can see it, that it's not there by accident. I remember I was just finishing basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia. It was August in South Georgia, and it had rained once in 8 weeks. The ground was hard and hot, and the grass was brown in most places, and we had been marching all night, and after a brief rest, it was right after daybreak. We just kept walking, and finally at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, some of the trainees had passed out from heat exhaustion, and they had been evacuated to the hospital. Now, I can't describe to you how thirsty we were. When we came to our campsite, the water bags were in place, and we rushed to them. We just about trampled each other to find that refreshment. And as I waited not so patiently in line, I heard some of the men in front of me complaining about the taste of the water. I remember my friend Monty. He said, "I'll drink anything as long as it's wet." Well, almost anything. We filled our canteens and began to drink the cool water, and it was terrible. It tasted salty. Finally, our sergeant told us that that they had put salt in it on purpose because the hot humidity was so terrible and the weather was so hot. And when weather in South Georgia like that causes persons to sweat profusely, and we needed to have our salt replaced quickly or run the risk of passing out of heat stroke. Now, would you agree that there's nothing quite like a cup of cool water when you're really, I mean really thirsty? No soft drink or anything else can quench your thirst like a fresh cup of water. Now, remember, Jesus lived in a very arid part of the world. There were no minute markets along the way to get a cold drink. There were no sport drinks, none of that. Most of his transportation was by foot in the hot sun. Jesus knew the value of the cup of cool water, and everyone who heard him knew it. Now, most of us can find a cup of water even if we're in the military. But we must ask, what is the principle of faith for you and me in this text? Hear these words. I remember so clearly, her name was Melissa Gibson, and she worked for the company AirTouch. It's a paging company, now it's Verizon, but I called the AirTouch office that day because I lost my electronic pager. Now, for a minister, that's a big thing. It's one of those gadgets that wherever you are, you can put it on your belt and you get messages, and I can call my office, and sometimes it's so critical. Well, the AirTouch office is on a back street, and it's way far from where I live, and Melissa realized that I didn't have any idea where to get to her office, so I called with great care to find out how to get there, and she gave me such patient accuracy to get to her office. Well, when I arrived, I was still kind of frustrated. I'd lost my pager in a church, and now I had to buy another one so that I could work in the church, and well, to my chagrin, I discovered that pages were not as simple as they were 5 years ago when I first bought it. As I read the list of options and the coordinating costs, my level of confusion went over the top. I mean, I thought I'd just order a pager and that'd be it. I didn't even know what to tell her I wanted. Now, she knew I was thirsty. She asked me a few questions and marked them down with the options, you know, on a piece of paper, a long list. And what she did was actually save me money, and she gave me numerous benefits that I didn't even know about. Now, I want you to know that that her office was filled with people like me who wanted everything from car phones to information. It was about 4:30, and she closed at 5 o'clock. Two other agents were assisting, but it was easy to tell that 5 o'clock would come and go long before we all could be helped. And I began to apologize for taking so much time. Then she said, "Now, Reverend Wolf, you are the most important thing that I have to do right now, and we're not leaving until you feel satisfied with what you're doing." You know, had I been spending a great deal of money, I could have expected lots of attention, but I was already a customer and I was spending $12 a month. I could feel the sincerity in her voice, and I could see it on her face. Her attention to the work was, well, it was uncommon. It was so significant that I could not forget it. Now, to me, it was like getting a cup of cool water on a hot afternoon. John Frame and I were in Elk, Poland. John was former president of Methodist Hour, great guy, and anyway, it happened to be on one of those mission trips, and it was his birthday. And we were thousands of miles away from home, and we had already been gone for about 2 weeks, and we were really homesick. And that night, when we came back to the Polish pastor's home, his wife had prepared a delicious dinner for us. And after dinner, Pastor Norieski invited us into his small living room, and it was very small. In a few minutes, his wife Elizabeth and their two children came proudly walking into the room with a birthday cake, and they sang happy birthday to John. Now, I know it's just a silly thing, a small thing, no bigger than a few ounces of water. But for John, it was an act of uncommon care and compassion. We're not even sure how they knew it was his birthday. Now, is it possible that our Lord is teaching us that while there are some big things that we must do, like salvation and all of that, there are also some very small things that are of great importance, huge importance in the work of the kingdom. So small, yet so big that they will be remembered in God's heart. Can you imagine a birthday cake in a faraway place being worthy of the remembrance of God in the kingdom of God? You know, Ruth and Ed both are with the Lord now, but I remember them. They had been married over 50 years. Ed was always strong, great golfer, and he was just great, even in his 70s, he was strong. And his wife, Ruthie, was so devoted, and Ed took such good care of her. I mean, they were just always together. Well, that night when I went into the intensive care room and I saw this strong man, now 80-something, completely helpless. His only kidney had failed, and he was alive but totally dependent upon every breath from the ventilator. His body was swelling from the excess fluid that was building up because his kidney wouldn't carry it away, and it wouldn't be long. Well, Ruth was there at his side. She leaned tenderly over the stainless steel rails, and she began to caress his forehead. "I love you," she said. And she looked at me and she said, "I know he can hear me. He just can't talk with that thing in his mouth." Her words were so gentle. She described the flowers outside his window and talked about the things that they would do when he came home. In a few minutes, I saw her take a small sponge full of water, and she began to caress his parched lips. They were split. There was just a second or two that I saw a smile on his countenance. Now, I didn't hear it for myself, but I'm sure she did. I'm sure she heard it when he said, "I thirst." Lord of us all, you took time to create the mountains and the rivers and the oceans, and you created the heavens and the earth, and you created all things, big and small. Could it be that even a sip of cool water on parched lips would be remembered in your kingdom? Amen.
Savior is waiting.
Thank you, John Wolfe. John, have you got another word for us?
Thank you very much, Whit. You know, when I thought about Ed and Ruth, I couldn't help but thinking of you and Kathy and the closeness you had with each other and the small things you did for each other, the little things I always saw her doing for you. I mean, I've come to realize, Whit, that those kinds of things, the small, caring things that we do, are huge things in the kingdom, because it's a matter of how we treat each other. Remember, Jesus said that the people will know you're my disciples by how you care for each other. Isn't that a powerful thought, Whit?
Powerful, John. Nothing bigger than the love of God. Jesus intended that his church might be organized love. Dear listener, write us. Our address, Methodist Hour, Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Again, Post Office Box 814, Roswell, Georgia, 30077. Do write us. Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Thank you.